wants to be a fearless woman of faith? Welcome to day 10 of our 28-day challenge. I am thrilled that you have been tuning in because I know that means you're hungry. You're hungry to know the truth. You're hungry for more, and you want all that God has for you. So today is no exception, because I believe God wants to bring about a divine clarity in your spirit, in your heart, as to what is truth and what is not, and to bring you into a new understanding of his love for you. And today I'm excited to introduce to you our guest speaker. But before I do that, if you could put in the comments, let me know where you're tuning in from. And if you're watching the replay, put replay and let me know where you're tuning in from, so that we can give you a shout out and just welcome you. And if you have questions along the way, make sure you put those in the comments as well. So today's guest is Sheila Fox. Now, Sheila and I met through another organization that we were both involved in, a kingdom organization. And Sheila is first and foremost a servant unto the Lord and a daughter of the King. She has worked part-time as a nurse to support the ministry and to pour into the kingdom of God. She has been a nurse for 22 years and a CNA for many years before that. She's always cared for and served others ever since she was a young girl. Recently, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, she started Divine Kingdom Jewelry that focuses on symbolically wearing the scripture to overcome limited mindsets. She specializes in renewing the mind to overcome limiting mindsets that hold you back from fulfilling your purpose. She devotes her life to worship unto the Lord in everything in daily life. So in everything she does in daily life is a form of worship. She advocates expressing worship through dance, flag worship, and washing Jesus' feet with her tears of love. Sheila Fox Ministries was founded and consists of doing many things that Jesus did in his ministry, such as, laying hands on the sick, encouraging, edifying, being a messenger for God's people as he leads. And she regularly goes out into parks, revival tents, churches, and conferences in her area in Cedar Rapids, the city where she lives. She's constantly walking out, being an ambassador of Christ in every area of her life. So welcome, Sheila, to the stage.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
I am as well. Yes, you and I crossed paths maybe over a year or so ago in an organization that we're both involved with. And I never forgot the passion and the fervency that you have towards the lost and towards seeing people be set free, and your passion for going into the streets and just really sharing the love of God. But before we get into any of that, and I know you've got some great things to share with us today, and specifically about Mary Magdalene and some of the power of how, you know, the encounter that you've had with God as well. But I would love it if you would share with our listeners today how you got started in doing what you're doing today.
Well, generally for me, it's always been, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He would just direct me, tell me to do something. And many times I'm like, what does this even have to do with giving the gospel? What does this have to do? And, you know, but it had me doing other things. And so I would just say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Like, for instance, one day he told me, he's like, teach a hula hooping class. And I'm like, what does that have to do with you, Lord? And he's like, just do it. And so I did. I went to my job and I told them, I'm like, I've been using hula hooping to help me manage with stress. And it just really helped me a lot. So I really would like to teach others how to hula hoop. And then they, to much my surprise, they're like, yes. So I started doing it. And then I would only get a couple people. Now, mind you, I was doing this because I was shy and I was stricken with social anxiety when I started. And this is what God used to help strip those things away.
Wow.
That's why he had me do it. It really had nothing to do with really giving the gospel, but he was preparing me for the call.
Wow.
And looking back, that's what I see now, is like he would ask me to do these small things. And it says in scripture that he gives us small things. He has to entrust us with the small things before he could ever give us the big things. And for me, it's always been a walk of obedience. Wow. Yes, Lord, even though I don't understand, when he asked me to quit my job, I'm like, how am I supposed to afford to pay for my house? My job pays the house payment. And it took me a while to answer that one and say yes, but I was like, yes, but help me with my yes, because I'm afraid. Help me. And it took me probably a few months before I actually did it, but I did. I quit my job like he asked me to do, and I went down to just casual part-time, and that's kind of how it's been. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I will do this. You want me to do a conference even though I'm newly saved? What? Okay. Yes, Lord. I trust you, Lord. And I just would do that. And then everybody's like, you can't do this. You can't do it. You don't have a covering. You don't have all this stuff. I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't get saved in the church. So I didn't know about the religion rules and regulations. So I was just obeying. And that's how I got started. And then after so many yeses, you know, it just kept on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then all of a sudden, that I think probably of February of 2020 is when he actually sent me out into the streets. And then I started laying hands on the sick. And that's when things really started to blossom, was in 2020.
Wow. Wow. And what a time to do it. I love that. I wasn't brought up in a church setting either, so I can relate to that. How did that happen for you, Sheila? Can you share a bit of that salvation testimony with us?
So what happened is, I'll give you a little bit prior. So I grew up, and when I was a baby, I was taken from my mom until I was like 4 years old. My birth father left me when I was 18 months old. And she married, and my stepfather was physically abusive and verbally abusive towards me. I dealt with, I was molested from the age of 4 till I was 9. And I dealt with a lot of that pain. But one of the things that my mom didn't go to church, but what she did do is she sent me and she put me on a bus, and it bused me to Sunday school. And I only went a few times, but I loved it there. And they taught me that Jesus loved me. So when I was going through all that pain, I knew that Jesus loved me. That was the only piece that I carried with me. That's the only thing I knew. I didn't even really know Jesus. All I knew is that he loved me, that there was somebody who loved me.
Wow.
And I carried that with me. And I accepted actually Jesus Christ when I was a teen. But I didn't have the relationship piece. So I thought, oh, I said the prayer, I got baptized, I did all the things, and I thought that was all. But I tried to obey all the rules, like all the commandments. I tried not swearing, tried not stealing, tried not smoking. I was doing all the things, and I was trying to also busy trying to fit into society. And I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be loved, and I had daddy issues. I wanted a love of a father so desperately bad. And because of my molestation that happened, that I didn't even remember until I was 40 years old. Because of that, that happened, and the sexual assaults that I endured multiple occasions in my preteen and teens, they showed me that, oh, this is what love is. This is what I thought love was. So I knew how, because they took advantage of me. So I started then to rule over men. It's like, nope. I'm not going to allow you to hurt me. Now I'm going to flip it around, and I'm going to manipulate you.
Wow.
And I knew how to work it. I knew how to get what I wanted from them and then shoot them out, because I didn't want the pain. And I had a promiscuous life that I lived once upon a time, drinking, all the things. I had multiple deaths in my family. Then all of a sudden I met my husband, and we had more pain. So it was broken and broken. It wasn't good. We had a lot of battles, a lot of fights, and we were raising our kids in that. And it was really a struggle for our marriage. Like, we separated 3 times. I filed for divorce 2 times. And then all of a sudden, in that midst of that struggle with our marriage, we had many deaths in our family. It started out with my grandpa. And my grandpa, oh man, I had such a deep love for my grandpa. And he used to call me Sheepy. And he'd have these little names for me. And he loved me so much. And then he died, and it crushed me. And then 2 weeks later, it was my sister-in-law. And the last thing I ever said to my sister-in-law is I asked her to watch my dog so that my husband can come to my grandpa's funeral. Mm. And then after she died, then after that, then it was my grandma died. And my grandma was my everything. She was my rock. She was the woman that I looked up to. Like, she was a powerful woman. Wow. And she was a single mom raising 10 kids. Like, I'm like, wow, grandma. I was like impressed how strong she was. And then after my grandma died, I started drinking heavily to help me with the grief and the depression that I felt. But I would pray and I was seeking the Lord. And I would do this back and forth thing all throughout my life. And then after she died, then my father-in-law died. Then my mother-in-law died. And then what hit me, what really hit home, was my mom got diagnosed with lung cancer, and she had 8 months to live. And by this point, I had lost all hope in prayer. My mom wanted me to pray for her, and I couldn't pray for her. I was angry at God. I used to yell, scream, throw things. Like, I would throw clothes on the floor, even though I couldn't throw them at him, but that's what I did. And I would get angry and I would yell at him, and all these things would happening. And then I lost my mom March 31st of 2016. And I went into deep depression. I had this persona and this falseness that I needed makeup and I needed to look pretty and I needed to look perfect before my mom died. And after my mom died, I'm like, why do I do this? This isn't even worth it. Hmm. I didn't want to get dressed. I didn't want to shower. I was like to the point that I didn't like my body. So I was basically starving myself before my mom died. And I was like, why am I not eating all the things that I want to eat? And I went on a binge. So it was like I had a bag of candy in one hand and I had a bottle of wine in the other. Kind of numbing all these emotions.
Wow.
And so that found me in deep darkness. And then in October 24th, 2016, I had had enough. Like, all the times before, I was crying, bawling out my eyes, asking the Lord, please take this pain from me. And then it switched from that to please take my life. And then I had all these thoughts going through my head of, you might as well kill yourself. Nobody cares about you. Nobody's going to miss you. Nobody asks about you. These were the thoughts going through my head, even though I was dropping signs everywhere that I was in a really bad place and I needed a life preserver.
Wow.
And nobody reached out. I was like, I would say things like, I don't even care if I die. I don't care. I was dropping those things all the time, but nobody asked. How are you? Are you okay? Nobody really reached out, but all the signs were there. Until one day, the October 24th, I had enough. Like, I couldn't bear the pain anymore. The pain was so much, and all I could see was darkness all around me. Just complete darkness. There was no light. Wow. And my kids were away at school. My husband was traveling for work. I was home by myself. And finally, I got up and I grabbed a knife. And I slid on my down by my front of my sink on the floor. And I was trying to build up the courage to take my life. And all of a sudden it came. And I was just about ready to slit my wrist. And when I was about to, I heard a voice and it said, Sheila. And I was like, am I crazy? Nobody's home. So I'm like looking around. And then all of a sudden I go again and I hear it really loud, but louder. And I was like, what's that? I was startled, and all of a sudden I was startled. It was like I was sleeping and now I was awake.
Wow.
And I'm like, what's happening? And I see this knife in my hand. I'm like, what am I doing?
Wow.
What am I doing? And the voice says, Sheila, you can't do this on your own anymore. You need to ask for help. And for the first time, I believe that was God's voice. I never heard him before that moment. And it was as if I saw like this hand reaching down and there was light through all the darkness. I could see a little glimmer of light and I could see like this hand reaching down, like, take my hand, take my hand. And my life was changed from that moment forward, because then I called my husband and I told him everything. He had no idea.
Wow.
And he's like, let's go away. We're going to figure this out. And so we went to a Weekend to Remember conference, which saved our marriage and made our marriage was better by this time. And we did, and I ran, they played my mom's song. I ran to the bathroom. And when I ran into the bathroom, I ran out. I was looking for a place of refuge. I didn't want to cry in front of everybody. And I ran to the stall, I locked the door, and I yelled out at God. I'm like, do you not see me? All my pain, all my suffering, all my tears I have cried. I've been crying out for you to save me, and you have not. I can't bear this pain anymore. And I felt good. I'm like, and I told him, I was like, you told me that you would never forsake me, and you did. Mind you, I never read the Bible, but I knew that. And I went and I put myself together afterwards, and I'm coming to walk out of the bathroom, and a woman walks in, and she was one of the speakers at the conference. And she comes into the bathroom. I was walking out, and she said these words to me. She said, are you okay? And I paused, because I wanted to say I was okay, but yet I'm like, I can't pretend anymore that I'm okay, because I'm not okay. And she touched my hand. And when she touched my hand, I didn't see her. I had an encounter with the living Jesus Christ. I saw Jesus. I saw his eyes. His eyes were like fire. They were brown, and they had this light, like the pupils, the lines, they were light, like lightning, like fire were in his eyes. And immediately time stood still. And at that very moment, as she touched my hand, all the depression left me. The suicidal thoughts left me. They were gone instantly. And then all of a sudden, it was like a movie started to play. And I started to see all the times that I laid on my floor and I was crying. But this time I saw Jesus. And Jesus was next to me, and he had his hand on my back. And he was weeping alongside of me, weeping and weeping. And he would cry and cry. And then he had this little jar, and it was slender, like actually the one I have on, but it was long. It was like this long. And he was collecting all my tears that would fall off my cheeks as I cried. And he was crying, and he was praying to the Father for me. But the thing I now see at that moment, I could not see him because I was blinded by the enemy, and he was inhibiting me from seeing or feeling that Jesus was next to me. And my life changed after that very moment. I dedicated. It's like, from now on, you would chase me all these years, and now I would chase him.
Wow. Wow, Sheila. Wow. That is so powerful. My eyes are all filled with tears at the moment. I love how God meets us in those ways that we don't expect, and we know it's God. And what struck me about your story at the end there, when you're talking about the woman, because you had cried out, you had all these things along the way, and no one ever came and asked you if you were okay. And it's just like this one person, are you okay? God used that to reach your heart in very dramatic way. And what a powerful story. And so from that moment, what transpired after that? I know from who you are today, but how did you begin to walk that out? What were some of the things that helped you now? Because I'm sure people listening today, women listening, I'm sure women listening can identify with parts of your story. And thank you for joining us today from New Jersey, from Texas. And someone said they rode the church bus too. They had experiences. Let me know if you have any questions for Sheila as we're going along our conversation here. Just put in the comments. But, you know, the trauma of the past and all those things, sometimes there can be lingering things that hang on and try to creep back up. Mm-hmm. How did you begin to walk out your newfound relationship, your dedication to the Lord, to a place of health?
I started to read the Word of God, and I was reading the Word of God, and I would just sit and talk with Him. I'd get a cup of coffee, and I always call it my coffee with Jesus time, because I'd get my cup of coffee. And at this time, we had sold our house because I couldn't take the memories. We moved to another house. And that's a whole nother testimony all by itself, the house alone. And I would take my coffee cup and I would go down to the river and sit on the dock and talk with Him. And as I would sit and talk to Him, sometimes I would just sit there for hours and I would worship Him. And this was something too that was difficult in our marriage, because I would just sit there. But the thing is that as I sat there and I was reading the Word, He started to help me to see how He saw me. I saw myself the way that He saw me for the very first time, because I struggled with body image. And so the very first thing that He started to do in me was to tell me who I was. He was the first person to say that I was His daughter. And when He called me daughter, I would melt. Because like I said before, early on, I always wanted a father's love. He helped me to see that I was beautiful. He helped me to see that I was created in His image. And even though I was probably at my heaviest that I ever was at this time of my life, because like I said, I was eating candy like all the time. I was hiding it, but I was eating all the time, making 4 trips to Dairy Queen, whatever I could do to numb the pain. And food was my vice besides the alcohol. And so He started to help me show me. So I started to fall in love with myself. I used to stand in front of the mirror and nitpick at all my flaws and be in disgust of myself and hate how I looked in the mirror. And He started to tell me these things. I was created in His image. And I started to see, it's like, oh, if He is perfection, then every time I talk bad about myself, then I'm talking bad about Him. That He's ugly, He's fat. And I'm like, but He's none of those things. So I started to fall in love with myself as I was. Yeah. And then He started to give me scriptures. As I would read the Bible, He would just show me scriptures. And Psalm 139 is my favorite scripture, because it started to really speak to me. He knitted me together, all my inner parts, in my mother's womb. And it really spoke life to me. That knowing that He held me in His hands when I was in my mother's womb. And so He just started to create this new identity about who I was. And then after He created that new identity, stuff started to fall off. I had anxiety that started to fall off. I started to drink less. I just naturally started to do these things. All of a sudden, I wasn't swearing anymore. Like all these things started to peel off of me, and I started to feel very confident. Like for the very first time, I could wear a bikini and I didn't feel like I need to hide. And, you know, and like He helped me to realize that, because one time I put it on and I'm like, oh no, I need a cover. And I went to this outing, and then all of a sudden He's like, now take it off and sit. And so I did, and it was a kayaking trip with people who I didn't know very well. And all of a sudden I get out of the kayak and I'm talking to people, and He's like, did you notice what you did? And God's so good, because He wanted to point out, like, look what you did. And I'm like, oh my goodness, not once did I didn't put the t-shirt back on. I felt comfortable in my own skin for the first time. It's not because of me, but because of what he did. He gave me a brand new identity and knowing that I was beautiful. And I knew that I didn't need to wear makeup to feel beautiful. So most of the time, honestly, I don't wear makeup most of the time. Mm-hmm. Probably the most of the time I wear makeup is most of if I'm going to be speaking or something. And I still don't like to put a lot of makeup on. I just gentle and that's about it. And he just started, as I would sit with him, the more I would sit with him, then he would start to bring up stuff from my hurt and my pain after a year or so. And like I said, I didn't know that I was molested until I was 40 years old. And he brought it up. And I realized all these things that I had seen actually did happen to me. I thought they were dreams, like these are things that I saw in movies, but they were too detailed. Like these visions that I were having, memories, they were too detailed that it helped me to remember, no, I was molested.
Wow.
And so he started to help heal that brokenness inside of me. I was an angry child and I never knew why. And he helped me see that's the reason why I was angry, because that happened to me, but yet I didn't remember. So the only way that my soul could express it was out from anger and rage. And that was why I did that. I also was suffering with OCD at this time in my life. And so he helped me to see the reason why I had OCD is because I was trying to control my environment. Not only was I trying to control my environment, but I was trying to control everybody, all my people in my circle, my husband, my children. And when they wouldn't do things like I wanted them to do, then rage would come.
Yeah,
I would burst out in rage and I never knew why. And once he revealed to me these things, then I no longer had OCD. The rage left. I had peace. He healed that in me. And that's how he did. He just started to slowly heal these broken pieces. PTSD. I had a dissociation disorder. He healed that, you know, and he just healed them one by one, all this brokenness.
Wow, this is so powerful because, you know, a lot of what you're describing, a lot of people believe that they're, you know, they can't be healed of some of these things. And but what you're testifying is of the power of God's love and his word to bring truth and freedom to you and to shift who you saw yourself as was huge. And I know from my life personally, when I became a Christian as a teenager, I had been anorexic. That was the only way that I could control my world because everything else around me was chaotic and uncontrollable and too painful. That was my way. But the thing that God delivered me, how he delivered me is exactly what you're saying. He began to show me who I was, the truth, my identity. And the word of God is powerful. It is so powerful. And I want those who are listening today to catch this, because I believe a lot of things that we struggle with, even fear predominantly, is because we actually don't either read the word or believe the word. And really embrace the truth of what the word says and apply it to our life. Now, that's not a condemnation. That's just a reality. And so it's an exhortation to see the word of God is powerful. And I know, Sheila, that you mentioned that there was a particular passage, a particular woman in the Bible that really God used to just to use her example to empower you and to give you the boldness that you needed. Because listen, you go out on the streets in your own town. And you share the gospel, you lay hands on the sick, you see people get delivered. I know that's a huge part of your ministry is deliverance and healing. And that requires boldness. That requires you to be fearless.
Yeah.
And how did that come about for you?
Well, first off, the boldness is not me. It's not by my strength, not by my might, but by his spirit. And for me, the boldness, first off, to start talking to people about Jesus, because I now knew the secret sauce. I needed to tell the world. I must tell the world. I want them to have all the joy, all the happiness that I now had and the freedom that I now had. I had, you know, freedom from all this hurt, all this pain. And now I wanted them to know that it's not about just saying a prayer.
Yes.
But it's about relationship and getting to know Jesus Christ and know who he is, not just about who he is, because we know celebrities, but we don't really know them. And that's how we know Jesus. When we just say the prayer, that's how we know Jesus is just some celebrity. He's not just some celebrity. He's kind. He's loving. He meets us exactly where we're at. Mm-hmm. I've done some horrible things. I was a Christian and going to church and trying to pretend and put on this whole persona. And yet I had an abortion, but yet he still met me where I was. And Mary Magdalene, he brought me to Mary Magdalene and he started to show me her. Mary Magdalene, if you don't know, is a woman in the Bible. And she was set free from 7 demons.
Yeah.
And I felt that. He set me free from shame, from guilt. I had a muzzle on my mouth, a mental muzzle on my mouth for 30 plus years of my life. It wasn't to the very moment that I talked about before where he started to heal and he helped me to recognize that that control that I had and the all these things and the OCD and all that stuff. And all of a sudden that duct tape like got ripped off my mouth. And then all of a sudden I went from this shy girl, timid, shy, held in shame and condemnation. All of a sudden it was ripped off her mouth. And now people are like, man, you talk a lot. I know, I can't help but talk about Jesus. And I also get, oh, you talk about Jesus, 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 Jesus. I'm like, wouldn't you talk about the very person who rescued you, saved you from death? Because my life is not my own, because he literally saved me from death. I was dead and now I was alive. He rescued me from myself and he set me on fire. And that's what I saw in Mary Magdalene. But not only that, he also helped me to realize people are like, you're a woman. You're supposed to be silent. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can't go back to being that girl. No, I'm not doing it. And I was like, I can't do that, Lord. Help me. And I'm like, I'm my husband. At that time, wasn't walking. He didn't know Jesus. He accepted Jesus Christ, but he didn't know Jesus. I knew. Then now I woke up and now I knew Jesus. And so I'm like, help me, because I'm supposed to be the wife. So I'm supposed to be quiet and timid and let him lead. And I had this belief that he needed to leave. And so here I was trying to tame myself and trying to be quiet until the Lord brought me to Mary Magdalene. And then I saw Mary Magdalene was a woman and she was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And nobody talks about her. She's not talked about in the church, but this is what happened to me. Cause he started to tell me about Mary Magdalene. It's like, oh, if Mary Magdalene can do it, so can I. I'm meant to preach the gospel. I'm meant to go out and talk to people and tell them about Jesus. And I just started to get this boldness. And I started then to speak to my husband about all the things that I was being silent about what Jesus was doing in me. And then he started to fall in love with Jesus and he started to grow. Because I thought, because the Bible says these things, but they're taken out of context, ladies. They're taken out of context. And this is something else I want to let you know that the Lord showed me. Mary Magdalene name being mentioned, it says Mary Magdalene and women. So he specifically named her, which meant she was a leader. So women are meant to be leaders. Exactly. We are. We're meant to be bold. We're meant to be courageous. Like this picture behind me, actually, the Lord led me to have this prophetic painting drawing. He's like, you're a roaring lion. Let it out. That's the thing, you know, that as I started to wake up, he also started to show me, you know, she was also very devoted to Jesus. I am so devoted to Jesus because what he pulled me out of, he is my everything, my very essence of my being. I can't even live without him. That if it came to the point that they're like, you need to worship this God or we're throwing you in the fire, I'd be like, throw me in the fire, because I'm not bowing down. So many times the enemy has tried to attack me, and it's like, no, I'm not wavering. I'm not budging. Instead, I'm going to dig these roots down deeper, because Isaiah 61 says that I'm a righteous oak tree. Because I've been pulled up out of the ashes, and he has formed me into beauty, and I am an oak tree of righteousness. So when the enemy tries to come at me and I feel like I want to give up at times, last week I was crying at his feet because I was hurting. And then all of a sudden the word reminds me, you are a warrior. In Psalm 18, I have clothed you with strength. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, I am. I am a righteous oak tree. And all of a sudden that oak tree stands up.
So good.
And that's what it is. It's like knowing the truth of God. And that's how I got my identity, was meditating on the word of God. And you can't see it, but I'm in my prayer room right now. So if I don't know if I could be able to show you, but on my wall back there in the far, far back.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of post-it notes on the wall. That is my armor. That is the word of God that I meditate on day and night. That's how I got my identity. And so then as I grew, now my scriptures just change. Yeah. But it's because of the word of God that has strengthened me, that has empowered me. Like right now, one that I've been meditating on day and night is Romans 8:30, that says that I am called, that I am chosen, that I have been given right standing. And because I've been given right standing with God, that he has placed his glory upon me. And then because he has placed his glory upon me, I must go out and spread it throughout the world, because we are supposed to be this light to the world that's in darkness.
So good, Sheila. Wow, wow, wow. You know, you're a living testimony of the power of when you know the truth will make you free.
Yes.
Truth. Jesus is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the word of God is a powerful, powerful tool that it's living, it's active. It's not just a tool. It's, he is the word. Jesus is the word. And yes, when we engage with the word, our lives are changed. And I love your story. And I love one of the things that you said before we got on camera today. You said, you know, our stories are different, but the testimony is the same. Mm-hmm. And it's so true, because the testimony is Jesus, the work of Jesus in our lives to bring us to a place of freedom, of wholeness, of right mind, whatever it is. Is our stories, how he does that is different, but the testimony is the same. God gets the glory. He's the one. He's the secret sauce.
Yes.
I love that. Yes. You know, and the other thing about Mary Magdalene, I'm so glad you brought that up, because there is a faulty teaching. Listen, it's just because people have not been taught. Don't get mad at the people who are teaching it, because they don't know. They don't know. They haven't been taught, or they don't understand that the scriptures, there's multiple scriptures, and sometimes in context, you have to understand what's going on. But there's so many women in the Bible that God used mightily. And this is one of the reasons why I felt like God wanted me to do this 28-day challenge, to help women understand you are called. You are a woman. You are called. You are called to do all the things that Jesus did and more, he said. But in Mary Magdalene was the first witness of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And that was completely counterculture for a woman's testimony to be valid as a witness. But Jesus used her as the initial witness of his resurrection when she went to the tomb and he was outside, and you know, she thought he was a gardener. And then he said, go and tell the others. And she ran and told the men and the rest of the women, he is alive. He's alive. And I love that because he gave voice to her. He gave permission. And I always say this, that many women are looking for permission to speak.
Yes.
Jesus has already given you permission. Your calling is your permission. The fact that you were born again is your permission. Because you are made in the image of God. You are a new creature in Christ. So Sheila, just as we wrap up, we could go on and on. I'm sure I just am thankful for you sharing your story. And I'm so thankful for God rescuing you. I'm so thankful that you heeded to the voice of the Lord and that he awakened you. And I'm wondering if you could pray for women today who may be listening, who may be struggling with some of the things that you struggle with, that you would pray for them to be awakened, that God would visit them and awaken them.
Yes. If I could just say one more thing, I want to tell the ladies out there. So your armor and how you get your strength, how you change your mindset. I used to keep note cards in my pocket with scriptures written on them. And then when I would get a second, when the enemy would be say, oh, you're not this. Because ladies, let me tell you, yes, I came from nothingness. I came from poverty. My mom scrounged from food. We were homeless at times. That's where I came from. So it doesn't matter where you came from. And I would pull these note cards out, and then the enemy would be like, you're nothingness. Who do you think you are? And I'd pull these note cards out, and I'd be like, oh, nope, this is who God says I am. And then I'd put them back in my pocket. I didn't even need to say them. I would just be like, oh, yeah. That would be how I would do it. That's how I got really to who I am. And the other point where I got my strength and my boldness from is because we have authority through Jesus Christ, through his authority. He says, I give you all authority to go out, cast out demons, heal the sick. That's where the authority comes from. It comes from him, but I'm a vessel carrying him, carrying the Holy Spirit, because his power came from the Holy Spirit. But he gave it to us. So when I go out, I heal the sick and I lay hands on them. And I've seen miraculous healings, miracles. And it's because of him using his name, telling that sickness it needs to leave, telling the demons they need to flee because of his authority. So I want you to know about that. And it's not because I'm anybody special. You have it just as much as long as you carry the Holy Spirit in you and you believe. You must believe, that's the other key, that the word of God is truth and the word that you have been given all authority. And that's how it's done. It's not because I'm anybody special. So I just want to let them know that before I pray.
It's so good. Those are great tools and practical ways that you can begin to apply the word of God. Because listen, it's not about your feelings. It's about the fact of who God says you are, the truth. You can't go by the feeling. The truth is what you need to have as your plumb line. And the more you allow that to become like your mind to be shifted so that you are aligning to the truth, your feelings will change. Your feelings will change. Go ahead, Sheila. I'll give you the last word here.
Okay. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you come now, that you touch each one of these women on this broadcast, that you come into their rooms, that you touch each one of them, that they feel that they have that encounter. Maybe they've never had an encounter with you. So I ask, Holy Spirit, that you come into their rooms right now and that you touch each one of them. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence right now. I pray, Father God, over top of each one of these women that you give them boldness for a new fresh fire, that the fire of the Holy Spirit come down upon them and rest upon them, that this boldness starts to stir up within their bellies right now in the name of Jesus, that you start to stir up this boldness, that you give them scriptures to give them this boldness, to give this encouragement, give them scriptures to tell them who they are, that they are daughters of a mighty king, that they are a royal priesthood, that you start to lift them up, that you guide their footsteps down the path that they're supposed to go. Help them to dig their roots in deeper into you, into who you are. Set a fire. Maybe they never picked up the word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you help them to grasp an understanding for the very first time of the words in which they read. I pray for any healing, any of those that are sick right now. I decree right now, by the name of Jesus Christ, I command all sickness to be gone from them right now in Jesus' name. I command the enemy to flee right now off of their minds. And I put on the helmet of salvation upon their minds, that their minds be sealed with the Holy Spirit, that you start to lift up, that you start to heal their wounds, start to make them whole, help them to open up their eyes, their spiritual eyes, help them to look at themselves in the mirror, to see themselves the way that you see them for the very first time. Give them new boldness, well up those rivers of fresh living water upon them. Maybe they've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, for those that have been asking for it, that they receive it today. I give you praise for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching each one of them. I thank you. I give you praise for your healing upon them. Mend their broken hearts and heal them. Dry their tears. Hold them tight as they cry and as they mourn. Let them know that you are there. I break off all things of the enemy that is blinding them from seeing you, from hearing your truth, and from receiving with from their hearts all that you have for them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Sheila, how can people get in touch with you and about your jewelry if they wanted to?
So I'm on Facebook. So you can find me on Facebook. I have a ministry page and then I have my other page. I'm also on YouTube and I do lots of teachings about changing the mindset. And I'm very open on there. I also have in my divine jewelry, so I'm actually wearing a piece of it now. You can find it on YouTube, not YouTube, but Facebook.
Okay.
It's called Divine Kingdom Jewelry.
Okay.
And they can be able to find it there. And then my website is located there to be able to get it. And if you've watched this program and if you were touched, send me a private message and I'm going to give you a free mustard seed jar, which I wear on my necklace. I would love to give you one of those for free.
Wonderful. Wow. 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 Sheila, thank you so much. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. And I just pray for God to continue to use you mightily as you step out with your yes to him and see what you do multiply 100-fold. As you raise up others to advance the kingdom. So thank you, Sheila. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Make sure you tune in tomorrow as well. But listen, go back and listen to the replay and allow the Spirit of God to minister to you, to speak to you. And I'd love it if you would put in the comments what God has been speaking to you through this. And I know it'll bless Sheila, but just something that is maybe a revelation, aha, a truth that you need to grab hold of. I want to encourage you. Don't let it just sit. Be active in your faith. Take it and bring it to God and begin to speak it out of your mouth. It's really important that you declare it. You speak it out of your mouth. Use your voice. God has given you a voice. And he wants to use you. So we look forward to seeing you all tomorrow. Thank you again for joining us and be fearless. Remember that you are called. You are fearless. Say, I am a fearless woman of faith. That's who you are. Begin to declare that I am fearless. I'm a fearless warrior because the word of God says I am. I am fearless worshiper of God. And go out and advance his kingdom. Bye, everyone.